I wanted to say about this. So what I'll do is briefly, well, you have the extended abstract for the details, but I'll just briefly discuss the problem and then what I've done so far to try to prove what I wanted to prove and somehow not prove it yet. So we have this flexible machine tool that essentially has infinitely variable speed between some lower bound and upper bound, which for now we'll assume to be zero and infinity. And it may also have a magazine, tool magazine, where you can preload a number of tools, and you have a batch of parts. Can imagine some blank parts that have to be not very good at drawing pictures. Anyway, you have a set of blank parts, and you would like to. You can assume that they are in some material handling system, and you can program your machine, and it has to cut them into some way. And we'll suppose here that there's only one kind of tool that is going to be used for this, and all the settings have been pretty much pre-decided according to specifications. And basically, what's left to choose is the cutting speed. And in a previous paper, we had studied a few years back the case when we supposed that the life of a cutting tool was a deterministic function of the cutting speed. What happens is if you make the machine run faster, it will cut the part faster. That's just simple physics. But the tool will wear faster, and which means that when you increase the speed, you use more tools to complete the job. And since you have a finite tool magazine, or maybe not, maybe the capacity is zero, every extra tool has to be loaded by hand, and we suppose that there is a setup time for each tool that has to be loaded by the operator. Now what we do here that's new is we say actually the life of a cutting tool based on experimental data does not seem to be deterministic. Some tools will wear faster than others under the same operating conditions. And so and the variance seems to be quite big, something like 30% of the mean, so coefficient of variation of 30%. So there is a relation between cutting speed and tool life, or what we could say nominal tool life, and that's the tool life. What we'll assume to be the mean tool life at cutting speed V, and everything is defined, and there is an exponent here, n, little n, which is called Taylor's exponent, and VR and TR are just reference speeds. So we suppose that that's some speed VR, let's say VR equal 1, there's a given tool life TR, which is which is known. We also have the cutting time. So a V is simply, well, the nominal cutting time at the nominal at the reference speed times the reference speed divided by V. So that's simple physics. And so it's essentially the length divided by the speed. And so now the number of tools will just be the cutting time divided by the tool life, TL. We could say theta will be tau of v divided by TL. In the deterministic situation, it would be just that, where TL is given by inverting this. So you'd have a function of v. So now, what we're saying is, now TL is our mean tool life. However, the tool life is a random variable. So we'll just say that x1, x2, and so on are the tool lives, which are random. And we'll suppose that they have, for example, a gamma distribution. It does not have to be a gamma, but if you do gamma, it's easy to do computations. I've been using R as the shape parameter and some, no, well, actually, yeah. Let's see. Lambda as the scale parameter. And our assumption is that the coefficient of variation is fixed. So R is given. And if you have, for example, 30%, R would be about 11 or so. And this would have to be chosen according to Taylor's equation, so that we have that the mean tool life corresponds to what's given by this equation. So if we do this, then we say that the amount of time needed to complete the job at a given speed v will be the cutting time here, plus the expected setup time, which is a setup time, a fixed constant, multiplied by the expected number of tools used. And that's simply the renewal function of the renewal process of, okay, you have an arrival every time you set up a tool. And if you have a magazine capacity of k tools to be preloaded, well, then you have a delayed renewal processes, because it's only the kth arrival or the k plus first arrival that will generate a tool loading. So if I normalize by setting s equal 1 or just normalizing, I can express, well, I'll do two things. I will do this normalization. I will also, instead of using the speed v as my parameter in the equation, I can change variables and replace it by that theta. It's really a one-to-one mapping. And so if I express my problem this way, I can say that for a tool magazine of capacity k, well, I have a function phi of theta giving the cutting time, plus a function omega k of theta, which is my renewal function, or let's just put quotes here to say that it's related to a renewal function by maybe a plus one or a plus minus something. And here I have simply a constant. If you do the algebra, it's a constant divided by theta over exponent n over 1 minus n. So that's a simple thing. And this thing here would be, if big F is my cumulative distribution function, then this is equal to fk of theta, the k convolution, plus fk plus 1 of theta, and so on to infinity. So that's a standard thing. And for the airline, for instance, using Laplace transform and stuff, you can find a finite sum, actually. So k, ah, yeah, k is the magazine capacity. So basically, now what I'm looking at is what happened is, in the deterministic case, this is a staircase. So, sorry. Well, fk of theta is simply a step function and at theta equal k it jumps to 1 because you have the kth arrival happening exactly at time k equal 1 with this change of variable under variable theta because theta corresponds to the number of tools, the amount of tools you use in the deterministic situation. And so these, sorry? Yes, that's right. Theta, yeah, theta represents the number of tools consumed to do the job. Right. And so it turns out that since this is a deterministic situation, the number of tools used exactly. And under this, you see that it's easy to find that there is a simple decision rule here. There is some optimal value of some integer, theta star, corresponding to one of the jumps. So here what we have is just a sum of step functions. So it's a staircase, unit staircase. And there is some number, theta star or k star, and if the magazine capacity is less than k star, then you will use that speed, theta star, or the speed v star corresponding to that, and which means that you will have some setups and a certain cutting time. And if the capacity is bigger than k star, then you will use some k bigger than k star, then you will use all k tools and go faster and decrease the cutting time. And it's very easy to see because of the convexity. This function is convex for all n between 0 and 1. And so you get that the sequence of optimal values, this sequence has increasing marginals. So for every k, we want to find the speed that minimizes the function. And basically what that says is as you increase k, well, you find that there is some there's going to be something like this. Right? So your slope, which is negative, increases a little bit every step. Okay, so this is the discrete convexity. That's what I call discrete convexity. Now, what we found out is that when we solve our model with stochastic tool lives, using gamma distributions or exponential distribution, well, we find similar result. When we plot the optimal values versus k, we find, again, we have this discrete convexity. So, the question is, okay, can we explain this? And what happens now is I spent, in fact, several weeks working on this last winter. And what happens is, in general, except for the exponential distribution, that is a special case r equal 1, you find that the function, if I fix k, well, the function omega k of theta is not convex in theta because it has some it's sort of like rounded steps, something like this, right? And what else? Even in the exponential case, this function is actually for all k we have, the dysfunction is actually convex. And if I fix k, it's easy to see that the sequence here is discretely convex. That is, it has increasing marginals with k, with respect to k. However, then I said, and for the exponential, I said, well, I'll try to prove that this should work for the exponential case. And the usual method, when you have a function of two variables and you optimize with respect to one, well, you say, you check, maybe it is jointly convex. And if it is jointly convex, then it's immediate that this kind of convexity will be there. Except that, failing to prove that I had joint convexity, I said, well, I'll try to find a counterexample. And I did. Turns out that the idea was quite simple. What I do is I take omega k of 1/2 theta 1 plus theta 2. And if that function is jointly convex in k and theta, then convex, I should have something like this, theta 1, theta 2. And so I should have that this would be omega k minus 1 of theta 1 plus omega k plus 1 theta 2 divided by 2. Right, the true value in between should be less or equal the straight line, the value of the straight line. But it turns out I found some values of theta and k for which that's not true. So not always true. So okay. So this simple approach cannot be used. So okay. Then I decided to use another approach. I said, okay, when I was trying to show convexity directly, analytically, I said, well, I have always these integer values of k. Maybe I could interpolate this and make sense of defining some values of k that are not integer. And you can justify this by saying that if you have a magazine capacity of 3.7, that means that the k plus first tool, you'll get a savings of 0.7 for it. It will not cost you a complete setup time, but it will cost you a little less. So if you do this, and so define intermediate, if you have omega k plus alpha equal omega, alpha omega k plus 1 minus alpha omega k plus 1. It's either this or the opposite. I don't remember which is alpha, which is 1 minus alpha. That's right. Alpha equals 0. So I think it's just the opposite. 1 minus alpha here and alpha there. If you do this, you have something that's well defined. And, okay. I get the function of k, omega k. Well, then I, not omega k, but psi k star, now with k being continuous. Okay. Then I get, well, as before, at the integer point, I get nice thing. However, the interpolation gives something like this, which is obviously not convex. So again, interpolating does not give the answer. Then I tried a geometric approach, I write first order conditions, optimality conditions. So I'm supposed to have phi prime of theta plus omega k prime of theta equals zero. So make this picture theta. Turns out that for the exponential case, exponential to life, the omega k prime is equal to fk minus 1. Omega. Let's call it gk minus 1. This is the cumulative distribution function of the k minus first Erlang distribution. For k equal 1, I get g0. For k equal 2, I get g1, like this. And afterwards, I get things like this. They all tend to 1 at infinity. And I plot minus phi prime, minus phi prime, which is something like this. And I find my optimal points. And for a given value of k, the total expected processing time is simply the area under the curve, the corresponding curve, two curves. Okay? Yeah? Okay, so what I'm trying to show is basically that this is bigger than that. So for example, this should be bigger than this, should be bigger than this, et cetera, et cetera. Geometrically. I'll use 30 seconds. That function phi prime, if I look at the two extreme cases, n equals 0, n equals 1, one corresponds to a line that is almost vertical, and the other one will be theta 1 star over theta, something that looks like this. Okay. And all other cases will be somewhere in between. Now, it turns out that for that extreme case where you would have a vertical line, that's no problem. You can show it's true, and that's very easy, because the integral of this is just the cumulative Erlang gk minus 1 or gk minus 2, etc. Right. So the rest is to show, can we go as far as this? And everything else is in between. And that's where I stopped. And I came here. One way I've been trying to look at this, and that so far didn't see it, is can we see this problem as a special case of something that has a bit more dimensions, and in which we can get the general result and then apply it? And so far, I haven't seen exactly this. Now, one way I've been trying to see, now, of course, the interest of finding a conclusion about this convexity is the fact that sometimes you want to use a machine like this for cutting many different types of parts and share the tool magazine between different kinds of tools. And so you have to decide how many of tool number one, how many replicates of tool number two, etc., are you going to preload? Another issue also would be, given that I have that much of my job that's been done, what is the speed now that I should use for the next tool? Like, instead of doing, like here, always the same speed, is there an advantage in varying the speed? In fact, that's a question that can be looked at, maybe a kind of dynamic programming question. Maybe. Another question is in terms of what they call unmanned manufacturing. So far, I said there is an operator that will change the tool when required, but can we expect some queuing there? That might be another question.